on, everybody? Welcome to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour with your host, Chris.
And Jonathan.
A good day, hot-ass day.
Very warm.
Yeah, it's kicking, but, you know, trying to enjoy the summer before it ends.
Yep, it's coming to a close very soon.
Football season is underway soon. College football is basically the weekend. Baseball's getting close.
Basketball starts in about a month and a half.
Just want to remind y'all that you guys can find our podcast on www.blackisonline.com. You can also listen to us on iTunes and Stitcher. If you want to hit us up, our number is 323-455-4219. Email us at thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter at thebrotherslayman.
Hey, hit us up. Take any questions, comments, concerns you guys may have. Feel there's anything we need to work on, anything we could improve on and improve the show, definitely let us know.
Yeah, if you got questions and you just want to, you know, say what you want to say, hit us up. But we're going to get into some baseball. And you know, out here it's been, you know, Dodger fans have been going nuts, obviously, with this trade that went down. Big trade.
Buzz is in the air.
Yeah, getting Adrian Gonzalez. Josh Beckett, Carl Crawford, off on the Red Sox for James Loney and
pieces and minor leaguers, basically.
I mean, they took a whole lot of money. Red Sox got to share $250 million payroll, which is just ridiculous as hell.
That's insane. I mean, you got to give some kind of props to the L.A. management, though. They've proven that with Frank McCourt out, that they're willing to take on some money to improve the team. So, gotta love that.
Yeah, they've been aggressive, and you know, Magic's been the face of it here, so you know fans in LA are loving it. And you know, I'm enjoying him bringing that winning edge to the Dodgers, as he, you know, did with the Lakers, of course.
That's right.
But yeah, man, I mean, they were getting Gonzalez, you know, just off the strength was pretty big. I mean, he was a big ass contract. You know, still owed $127 million.
And let's not forget about them acquiring Hanley Ramirez and his contract as well.
Yeah, they've been taking on a lot, you know, but, of course, we like their aggressiveness. I mean, it could come back to bite them in a few years, of course.
Oh, of course.
You know,
but
Josh Beckett is...
You like that they're aggressive.
Yeah, we do like that they're aggressive.
I mean, Josh Beckett, I think, is a guy who can bounce back. He's a proven all-star. Same with Carl Crawford, who's down with an injury right now. I think you give him some time to rehab, change the scenery, he'll do him good. And Adrian Gonzalez, I think he'll be fine. He's coming back to L.A. You know, he's a native of Southern California, so I think he'll be right at home and feel very comfortable here.
Oh, I just think adding him is basically not your number two behind Matt Kemp, who ran into a wall and got hurt recently.
My goodness.
I hope he's all right. I mean, yeah, you're getting that bat. Dude was batting 300, 15 homers, 86 RBIs, three-time Gold Glover. I mean, this dude, you're getting a good guy. This is a major upgrade.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge upgrade.
Yeah. And Beckett, I mean, if you can get Beckett just, you know, playing every once in a while, just a step up, and he's your number three, if you get a, you know, a Josh Beckett, I mean, not expecting him to be, you know, what he was a few years ago in Boston.
Yeah, Boston and Florida.
Yeah, but, I mean, if he just gives you an above-average, you know, number three pitcher, I mean, that's major. You know, Carl Crawford, I mean, that's the big gamble. I mean, that could be a boon for the Dodgers. Like a steal order, it could just backfire.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge pickup for the Dodgers. Definitely a huge pickup for them.
Yeah, I remember when the Red Sox signed him, it was like, oh, shit, the Red Sox is about to be serious.
I mean, some of the blame on this does have to go to management a little bit. They got rid of Terry Francona, who really, look at it, he is a player's coach. He's a player's, excuse me, manager, which is a term used in baseball. He's a player's manager. It happens with every single coach. After a while, you know, guys tend to tune him out. They've heard the same thing over and over, year after year. And, you know, you try to look for a fresh start. But, unfortunately, Bobby Valentine didn't really work out. Clashed with a lot of guys. He's kind of, you know, a hard ass, of a manager, if I could say that. Clearly didn't work out. You know, it all started with he and Kevin Youkilis, who got traded to my team, the White Sox. Loved the move. And then you see what happened with the players. The players are meeting, having a meeting about them, and here comes the trade where they're shipping basically damn near half their starting lineup to the Dodgers. So clearly, you know, they're a team that's in rebuilding mode at this point, basically. They shed all that salary, which was big for them. It worked out. They got some good prospects out of the deal. You know, James Loney, Dodger fans didn't really care for him too much towards the end when he got traded. But I think James Loney is a solid player. He'll be a good fit. I think he needs to change the scenery also. And see what happens.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what's going to happen with Boston. I mean, it's not all manager's fault. I mean, yeah, when Francona was there, I agree with you. It just got lax. And, you know, if you're winning, or at least, you know, in the hunt, making it to the World Championship,
mm-hmm.
you can deal with that. At least you feel like you're in the mix for a World Series. But if you're not, and they've been sucking, and, you know, like fucking 13 and a half behind now, you're like, all right, well, why be paying y'all?
And it happens with every team. At some point, you guys got to start over.
Yeah. And they were like, hey, you want to take all this money? Cool. And Dodgers, I mean, there's no salary cap. So you're like, all right, well, we'll figure it out later.
Exactly. We'll reap the rewards now.
Looking at
the Dodgers, even with the moves they made, they're still struggling to pass the Giants in first place.
Yeah, 3.5 behind. They have a team that should be winning. Same with the Angels. You're like, why are y'all behind? But, you know, sometimes it just doesn't click right away.
I mean, and let's be honest. I mean, the Yankees didn't win every year. You know, you had basically an owner who bought an all-star team every year, and they didn't win every year. So just because you have an all-star at every position does not necessarily mean you're going to win every time.
No, you can get the players that just doesn't click.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah. Now with the Giants coming off their high, Melky Cabrera winning the All-Star MVP, and then gets popped. Testosterone. 50 games gone. There's the end of the season.
Everything died down for a while after the whole report came out with everybody who was listed and taking steroids. It seemed to have died down over the years. Things kind of cooled off. You know, some guys were still getting popped, but the majority of them were minor leaguers, guys you never even heard of. This is a big issue because this is a well-known player, an all-star, a guy who basically had average numbers last year. Then all of a sudden he comes to the Giants and he's on fire. Now, I'm not saying that the Giants organization has something dirty going on in there. You know, they also had another famous person who was accused of doing steroids in Barry Bonds. I'm not going to say there is, but at some point, baseball has to do something more than just suspending 50 games. From what I heard the team kind of knew that he was going to get suspended, which is why they traded for Hunter Pence to take his spot. So you guys knew he was doing roids.
Well, maybe if they knew that the test was coming, or maybe they, you know, I don't know if they leaked it per se, but maybe they knew that Major League Baseball had, you know, got him. And, you know, of course, I don't think they just test him. You know, he come up, and then, like, the next day it's on. I figured they took some time, but
yeah,
they might have gotten wind. You know, yeah, and you, like, after that, and then Bartolo Colon gets popped.
Another well-known player. So
yep.
Now, like, now here we go again.
Yeah.
Here we go again. Who's
so
the
you
next
think,
player that's going to be popped?
So you think 50 games is for a first time, 50 games for first offense is not enough?
Nothing. You look at, like, a pitcher. A pitcher starts every, what, 5-6 games?
Yeah.
So what, he's missing?
Even that, maybe 3 or 4, maybe like 4, but, I mean,
yeah,
he don't play once every, like,
You say once every 5 games or something like that. So you're telling me he'll just miss 10 games, 10 starts basically is what he's missing. That to me, that's nothing. These are guys who you're playing in a league that has no salary cap. So some of these guys are making 20-some-odd million a year. What is 50 games to them?
Okay, now is it not long enough for hitters? Because I mean, are you saying for pitchers, should they, like, if you're a pitcher, then you get like 75 games or something?
No, I think it should be equal across the board.
Okay.
I mean,
but you think they gotta kind of, because pitchers is not much, they gotta lean a little higher.
Here's my thing. You cheat with steroids. Basically, you're using steroids. You're cheating. That is, you're cheating.
Yeah.
So, if I'm the commissioner of baseball, first time offense, I'm suspending you for the whole 162 games. You're out for the year.
Damn.
Go home. Think about what you did. Come back next year. Unroid. So then you get busted again. Okay. Now I'm going to give you 3-year suspension.
That's a lot, dude.
It's a lot, but
I mean,
you know what?
Like, but it's like no other sport does that.
What? At what point are guys going to get it?
But I mean, like, it's like, all right, you
okay.
get busted, basically.
And I'll do this then.
I mean, I'm with, like, I think 50 games. I don't know. I mean, I can see it going up, but, like, if you want to take away, like, 2/3 or half of the season, but not like we taking away the whole goddamn season. Like, that's a lot. I would
that's
say at least
lot,
if you want to at least go half. If you want to go half,
but
at least go
instance,
half.
You're getting caught this far into the season.
On the next year.
So, all of your stats really shouldn't count. So at what point? Let's say you have game winning home. Have game winning. Let's just use Malcolm Cabrera as an example. He's been crushing the ball this year, all year. He just now got busted after 100-some-odd games.
Yeah.
Well, then, I mean, 100 games has gone by that a cheater was playing. That's why I'm on, like, you know what? You're out for the year. You're out for 1 year. And then the salary that you were making that year, a percentage of that you have to donate to a charity. Have to. Mandatory. Got to. Because you know what? Where a lot of guys, where they learn when you hit them in the pockets. Take a percentage of that money you was making, that goes to a charity. I should say half your salary. Should be harsh. Say half your salary.
You don't
goes
get
to
it anyway.
Charity. Yeah. Well, then 100% of your salary goes to the charity. How about it? And, I mean, at some point, you have to make an example because, I mean, clearly, when the whole list came out, the whole report came out, guys were busted. You saw it die down a little bit, and now it's probably starting back up right all over again.
It was a list that was technically not supposed to come out.
It wasn't supposed to come out, but
that's why, like, well, damn.
How much stuff is not supposed to be leaked into leaked?
If part of it is your sport. I think if you just spend the guy a year, yes, you'll have some stoppage, but niggas still don't get popped.
Well, then I don't know what to do then.
Yeah, I mean, you always going to have motherfuckers trying to get an edge. You know, at least if they were going to be like, you know what, at least we're going to double it. Because y'all not learning, we're going to double it. At least be like, all right, your season is 162-odd games. We're taking away 100. That sounds even bigger. Like, damn, did you take away 100 games?
Well, that's the punishment,
like,
now.
More than
you get caught for the second time. You get 100 games.
The second time. But so now.
So at what point
do you
kick them out
wait?
Of the league? At what point do you ban them from the league?
I heard it's the third time.
Okay. So three.
I think it's around,
now.
Like, if you get caught a third time, well, I had to look. Because I thought it was like a season,
thought it was 50
but, I mean,
games.
But
I thought it was 50, 100 in a year.
I think so, but I think the way they would do it, if you had gotten a third time, they'd probably be like, nigga, get out.
I'd ban you from baseball.
You know,
because, I mean, dude, you're screwing up the integrity of the game. My thing is, looking at the big picture, you guys are role models for children. They see you guys, they love you guys, they idolize you guys. They see you guys pumping roids, they're going to want to do the same thing. Well, my idol does it.
That argument could lead into what's up with Lance Armstrong.
He's just another one.
I mean, you think he was like blatantly cheating? I'm suspicious. I'm kind of like, I don't trust it. Like, something seems a little shocking, but I'm not going to be like,
I truly believe if you know you're innocent, you know you didn't do something, you will fight your heart out to prove your innocence.
But how long?
And, I mean, I know it's been a while, but you see guys who go to jail who are innocent, wrongfully accused.
And there's some people
who wish they could have those 5 years to just be in a courtroom and just debating and telling them, this is what happened. I didn't do it. So, in my opinion, you fight until you can't fight no more.
So, because he just said, fuck it, you think he was like, basically.
That makes me suspicious, yes. The fact that he just kind of threw his hands up in the air like, you know what, whatever, it's over.
But it's like, you didn't catch him.
I mean, we didn't catch him.
Yeah, you tried to get him.
But his teammate was doping.
Yeah. I mean, until you catch me, then what? Like, yeah. You've been trying to test me the whole time. You didn't, and it's not like I'm like got some secret ass. You just didn't. I didn't test.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't test positive, so leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah.
And then
I mean, you are innocent
until
proven
guilty. Yeah, but he don't really. To me, he don't really give a fuck about all that. He kind of like, look, I won them seven. All y'all saw I won that seven. You ain't test positive for me. You ain't gonna take away all the fucking hard work I put into it. So fuck y'all. I won. You know I won. You can take the titles, but history done is already set.
Yeah.
Like you can't take back me winning it seven times in real time.
Oh yeah.
So he's just like, fine. You want fine? Leave fine. I won. You gonna all right? Whatever. Take my shit away. You gonna leave me alone now? You gonna leave me alone? All right. Fine. I'm caught. Whatever. Fine. All right. I can't cycle no more in your shit. Fine. All right. I know he didn't want that PR hit.
I know he didn't want it, but, I mean, I do agree. I think at some point he was probably was just kind of frustrated and just like, you know what, fuck it.
Right, and you
leave
can't
me
prove
alone.
It. And he could be like, you know what, I know I cheated and you didn't catch me, so fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, all right. Because, like, now you can take him away, so now you can't come back later and be like, well, now we want to make sure. I'm like, dude, you already took my shit.
It's an issue in sports.
Well, like, it's always going to be an issue.
Yep.
Like, everybody takes drugs. They say, you know, fighter pilots take some kind of drug.
Yep.
I mean, people take performance-enhancing drugs. It doesn't have to be just sports-related.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it...
Just people freak out like that. I'm like, how could you... I'm like, motherfucker, you take for everything.
Yeah, people
you
take
stuff
all the time.
To make yourself look younger.
Yeah.
You cheating. You trying to cheat death. You cheating.
You wear makeup, your face don't look like that.
You know that hair is yours, but from a package, not from your roots.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that's just going to linger. I don't know. I guess there's no way to really... stop it, but because, I mean, as technology advances, guys are going to find other ways to do it. So, I mean, it's just something we're just going to have to deal with. And the guys who do it, they'll be dealt with at the appropriate time.
But old dude Clemens, who
died 50
years
old.
All that shit.
Go home.
You think a team will take a chance on him?
For sales purposes, yes. And I think there's the only team I really think it would make sense for him to go would be the Houston.
Well, everybody says.
I think they're the only team willing to take a chance on him. No, honestly, because
yeah.
They suck. They need to fill the stands. You know, this guy is a hometown hero. You know, people love him there.
Yeah, and he can pitch.
So, I mean,
relief pitcher.
I mean, from what I saw, what I read about in his first game, he pitched up three and a third innings. Scoreless.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously he still has some kind of skill.
Yeah.
The man's 50 years old. I mean, you know, you've seen a guy, what's his name, Jamie Moyer. He's what, like, he's like 54 still pitching. So, I mean, it's guys have proven you can go beyond 50 years old and still be productive. So, I mean, like I said, Houston's the only place I could really see him going. Possibly if they want to give him a shot. Otherwise, he's done. I think he's done anyway. I think he just needs to call it quits. But I think he's just trying to really build his PR back up. And get the fans back on his side. So that's fine. I can understand that. But
yeah, I forgot. I didn't think about it that way. That would be, you know, I don't want my last shit to end on steroids.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I want people to talk about me pitching again. So
at least that's how I get to end it with, like, I pitch a game in the major league.
Exactly, you know, and you can call it a day.
Right.
So I can understand from that point of view. But me personally, I'm just like, dude, you're 50. Go be with your family, please.
Watch some baseball.
Watch some baseball.
Coach,
you know what? Even coach some baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Just coach or do something. But pitching, dude, no. Like,
time.
The Yankees are not signing you. Nobody that good is going to sign you.
I'm like, you had your time. You was good.
Exactly. It was great while it lasted.
Hall of Fame, I'm assuming at some point you will, because at some point this shit is going to get old.
Yeah, I mean, you got to let cats in. Just like eventually they're going to fucking let Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. It's going to happen.
When he's dead, which is fucked up.
Yep.
I mean,
which is cold.
Like, as soon as he goes, they're like, oh, now we'll let him in. Like, fuck y'all.
Yep. So, you know, I wish Roger Clemens the best in the future. He's had a great career. He had a great run. One of the best pitchers I've ever seen in my life. But, you know, as all things do, great things come to an end. So, to me, it's the end of the road for him. So long, sir.
Yep. Have a seat.
Exactly.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the Brother Lane Sports Happy Hour.
Holla.
Hand me that right there. Yeah, make sure you wash your hands when you leave the bathroom next time. That shit's nasty.
Packed in, knuckleheads, nothing for you bucket heads. Got my cheese, got my lettuce, now I need my fucking bread. Worth the baby Daryl, boy, I'm hot. Habanero, keep my mind on my money and my eye on the sparrow. Mama, I'm the coldest, just from my apparel. Feeling like I'm Moses, flyer than the Pharaoh. Tiger to all you poses, tiger to all you weirdos. Tiger to all you hoes, leaving makeup on my pillows. Shout out my Latinos, let's count this dinero. All my niggas eat now, I'm not talking carols. Look at all these O's, no, look at all these zeros. I do hella shows, I got cheese like Sparrow. Hello world, hello girls, hello fans, hello haters. We the highly celebrated number one. No, they can't stop us, they can't fade us, they can't drop us, they can't break us. We gon' rape this motherfucker till we done, done.
Shake the mold, yeah. Now it's all grizzly. Peepa niggas footwear, now I'm all Italy. Ricky D, flashy nigga, on point, Ashley nigga. Coming up, I was influenced by some khaki niggas. Only about their matching figures. Homie, you can't match the vigor. You ain't really that tough, homie, that's the liquor. Pop up got you talking fast like you rap a twister. Give a fuck about a nigga, I go back they sister. Another blunt, rap the twist up, another story told. A new Motown packed it, play that very Gordy roll. Coming through your audio, switch up like an audio. Run it like it's cardio, take it to the body, yo. About drama, so I flip my piece
sign up. This is South Beat, but I grew up on East Siders. A pack there popping like we got the grease fried up. Looking for an ATL freak to loan me $5. Eyes up, that is not my wallet, miss. Yeah, I'm big headed, but don't make it so obvious. I'm traveling the globe now, working on my politics. Running for head of the state on my Baraka shit. Cut your fucking head on the plate on some Baraka shit. Every verse I murder, I don't care what the topic is. Got a few misses down in Texas that I probably with. All of them is winners and I coach them like Popovich. Pop the crisp, no, wait up, pop that smart water. Staying sober just in case I gotta dive in shark water. Lady killer, heart throbber. Stick them quietly, then I release. Then I am peace, deuces like a Siamese. Gone, gone, gone.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Brother Lynn Sports Happy Hour. College football.
Yes, college football.
Yeah, I'm
love it, because when it's here, that means the NFL is right around the corner.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, love college football, because every single game is meaningful.
Yeah,
every
they make
single
it for sure.
Game is meaningful.
But we can argue that now with putting out with the new playoff system. Oof,
I'm kind of interested to see how that'll work, but.
And of course, it's nice to see, you know, hometown USC.
Right? Numero uno.
Yep, coming off them 2 years of their little scandal, Reggie Bush, like that.
Set them
shit.
Back. But you know what? I'm happy for that. Matt Barkley. I like the kid. I think he's a great quarterback. I think he's going to be a great pro. And you know, Lane Kiffin. Did a great job. He's done a great job recruiting, keeping those players focused, even though most of them knew that they couldn't play in a bowl game, championship game, for a certain amount of years. But you see a lot of them stuck it out. You know, of course, there were some guys who transfer. That's going to happen. But you see most of them stuck it out with them. And now you see the team they have, and they are the target.
Yeah, Matt Barkley decided to stay a year. He survived the 2 years and so now they're coming out the gate hot. You know, what should give some hope to and like all like that, like Penn State. You just survive through it, play well, and if you come out playing that well at the end, folks will roll with you.
Exactly.
But we know the heavy favorites are always in the fucking SEC.
Of course, it's the toughest conference.
Yeah, it is. You got LSU and Alabama just right there.
Hey, don't forget about Florida.
I mean, SEC is always going to be, you know, with Georgia. They always going to be.
Georgia, yeah.
Well, they should be nice for a long time to come. I know it changes. Pac-12, now let's get it popping.
Oh, man.
You know, Oklahoma, right there.
Yeah, you still got Oklahoma in the Big 12. I mean, Big 10, excuse me. With Texas and. You know, we'll see what happens with Boise State this year, Michigan. There's a lot. I mean, it's a lot of good schools out there, a lot of good teams. You got a lot of good stories. You got Urban Meyer coming back. He's coaching at Ohio State, placing Jim Tressel. You got the whole Notre Dame analyst basically said that he was kind of, I'm not glad that some of their players were suspended, but he thinks it kind of brings a little – yeah, a little bad boy edge to the team. Can't have choir boys at every position, as he said.
Right.
But, I mean, to a degree, I do agree with him a little bit. I think you do need some kind of swagger, some kind of guys who are just kind of like, you know, I don't give a fuck. I'm sorry, but on football teams, you got to have at least a couple of those dudes who are just like, you know what, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, you just
want
to keep it on. Let it
yeah, you just want to keep it on the low, low. But you know, you want some of those tough guys, those bad dudes who are just like, you know, fuck it.
Yeah, so that's what people love about football. And yeah,
it's a tough guy
awesome.
Sport.
Yeah.
That's why I shouldn't say girls don't play because girls do play football. But wussies don't play football. I'll say that.
You can't. You know, taking a hit.
Yep.
I don't call myself no wussy, but I wouldn't. I was like, I can't handle that. I don't feel like getting hit all the damn time for what? That don't look like fun.
Yeah.
Fun's like playing, you play tackle football with your boy.
Yeah.
Just like, all right.
Get hurt all the time. Hospital just knows you.
It's fun to watch. I mean, shit.
That was great to watch. Would you allow your son to play?
If he showed interest, yeah, it would be. I guess my thing would. I don't know if I'd actually just automatically put him in Pop Warner football. But you know, if he was, because I watched him, if he was interested, you know, I'm like, all right, well, if you want to go ahead and try, you know, see if you like getting hit, you like hitting people like that.
Yeah. Yeah, see, doing big things. They got a solid team. They got a Red from Penn State on their team. Got Robert Wood coming back. TJ McDonald back at safety. So they're stacked. So, I mean, I'm really not surprised they're labeled as the number one team. It's glad to see USC back as number one.
Oh, yeah, I love seeing it. And I like the fact that Oregon is in the top five. That just makes the Pac-12 even better.
Makes it weird.
It gives FC a little more power because you're like, you know, we got good teams there, too.
Exactly. You got Stanford. Stanford still is in the top 25. So, I mean, the Pac-12 is no slouch conference.
They're going to get better.
Everybody talks about the SEC, but the Pac-12, they're a tough conference as well.
Trying to come for the number two conference at least.
Oh, yeah. I would say they're the second best conference.
You got any mention who you think are going to make it to the championship?
To the big dance?
Yeah,
well, got to go with SC. As the favorite. I mean, they're the number one team in the nation. I'm an L.A. guy, so of course I'm going to go with L.A.
Okay.
But, I mean.
Here's a good question. Do you think, because you know it's all, you know, this game is still all about, you know, you lose one, that's it.
Yep.
We know the SEC is going to get the benefit of the doubt, and if they lose one, it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if SC loses to Oregon and then plays Oregon in the conference championship and beats them. You know, so they have one loss, but they lose to, they one loss was to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
You think they won't get let in? Now, I will say this. They ain't going to have one of Alabama or LSU, whichever one of them end up with one loss, and then it's between Oklahoma and SC.
Well, it depends. I mean, it.
They can only lose to Oregon, you know, or Stanford, maybe. But Oregon at least, you know, All right, well, they're at least a top five team, so the loss isn't as major.
And that was my argument. That was my argument. If you lose to Oregon, they're still a top five team. You can still give them that leeway. If they come, let's say they come back and beat Oregon, but the key is in play Oregon in the championship game, Oregon has to be top 10 at least.
Yeah.
For you to have a shot, they can't lose a couple games and then fall out to the top 25 because it ain't gonna matter.
Right.
So SC's gonna with any team, you're gonna have to pretty much run the table, and I think SC has the firepower to do it. I mean, they clearly have, in my opinion, the best quarterback in the nation, bar none.
He is
going
in with the best quarterback, of course.
Bar none. I mean, I don't know if I want to say it's just the second coming of the Andrew Luck thing. Guy goes back to school for his senior year and dominates. When clearly he easily could have left and went to the draft. Clearly, probably could have been the second quarterback picked. But
yeah, maybe.
In the top three.
Oh no, he didn't really been in the top three for sure. He's been third, but I mean.
So I mean, now you look at him, gets to play in a bowl game this year. It's playing the championship possibly this year. So
yeah,
if he runs the table, he runs the table and wins the, and leads them to the national championship, he's number one pick, no questions asked.
Oh, all he has to do is play like he's the number one quarterback, and he get in.
Yeah, he'll be.
Yeah, if he played like he's the number one quarterback in college. That's it. But that's why he stayed. I don't blame him. Like, you know, if I leave now, I might be, you know, third, fourth. But if I wait another year, I could be the number one pick.
For a guy like Matt Barkley, let's be honest, he ain't starving. His parents have some money, you know, he ain't broke.
Nah, I mean.
And, you know, he has a scholarship clearly to SC. He's on a full ride, so, I mean, he's a good guy. He's gone over different countries and done things over there. So, I like Matt Barkley. I think he's a great kid. I think he's a good guy, has a good head on his shoulders. And honestly, with a lot of these dudes, he did what I wish a lot of guys would do, which is go back to school for your senior year, because you and I both know college is a once-in-a-lifetime deal.
Yep.
I mean, once you, when you're like 40 going back to college, it's not the same as when you're 21, 22 years old. That's a once-in-a-lifetime chance you're going to get to enjoy that time with your friends, with your people, with your teammates, you know, with all your, just to be able to be young guy, you know, no worries really in the world, and just have fun. So, I mean, I applaud him for coming back, soak it up, you know, and I wish a lot of these young guys would do that. Get your degrees, guys. Football is going to be around forever. That don't mean your career is going to be around forever.
Man, shit, your career might end in like 5 years.
Your career might end in one game, your first game. You never know.
You know, especially if you know you that good. I mean, Andrew Luck, clearly he had big plans. Because normally, if you know number one quarterback, like for sure, I can understand with Matt Barkley because he wasn't going to go number one at all. And he probably wasn't going to go two. Especially now, you know, like I can wait a year, get better. Because he was good.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
Yeah, but, he comes back, and now you can actually play for a championship. You are the guy. That's
the
a
Heisman.
Lot of pressure now. Now
you're the number one Heisman dude.
Yeah, you started your freshman year. Everybody's like, why the hell are we starting? Why is Pete Carroll starting this kid?
And now you
and
see.
And all these other kids, and now, like, you've been playing this your fourth year. You know, your team is ranked in the top three.
Number one.
You know, number one. You know, other one. Number three in coach's poll, but whatever. You there. Win
exactly.
And you're in.
Win and you are number one, dude.
Like
That's it.
You know, you carrying SC. They look good and kick the shit out of you, UCLA.
UCLA has been looking bad lately.
Yeah, UCLA.
But they got Jim Mora as coach. You know, I like Jim Mora as a coach in the NFL. We'll see what happens with UCLA. I think they can make a decent run this year.
Yeah, I think they will too. I hope so, man. Shit, I hate seeing UCLA just suck. At least
it's always better, of course, when you have USC and UCLA. You know, both being very competitive. Now that's when the rivalry's big. That's when LA is buzzing the most. And, you know, that's when it's most exciting.
Yep. It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
I should see this Michigan-Alabama game because I'm telling you, if Michigan lose, they have to run the table. They can't lose again.
Michigan, in my opinion, they got to run the table from Jump Street.
Oh,
I don't think
they
can afford to lose one game, especially with a team like Bama, man, coached by Nick Saban. Nick Saban is a great college coach.
Yeah, and Alabama got pressure because if they fall, you know, basically not playing a team in the SEC, then it's like, oh, shit.
Yep.
I hope they do some. Florida State back in the mix.
Yeah, it's always good to see. We'd love to see Florida State and Miami back in it. It's competitive as well. You know, you always want to see those rivalries, you know. You always want to see the big-time rivalries. You want to see all those teams do great, the Texas-Oklahoma rivalries. I mentioned USC, UCLA, Oregon State. You always want to see the rivals competitive with each other. Always. Always got to be relevant. Michigan State. So,
Michigan, Ohio State. Yeah, you need all the rivalries.
Michigan, Ohio State, excuse me.
No, Michigan and Michigan State is a rivalry, too. Them inner like, city rivalries, interstate rivalries. I'm sure
those are always the best ones, in my opinion. Those are always the best.
Yeah. I love them joints.
People
just be like, yeah, I see your plate now.
TP your Fine. Statue and steal your mascot.
Yep. All them pranks. College baby, enjoy while it lasts.
Yep, that's right.
If you want a football team with me, you get perks. You know,
get your degree. You want a perk,
player at
get your degree.
University of Southern California. Yes, it's on.
With a degree in African American studies. That'll get you a job right after you retire.
You know, hopefully they go into the NFL, which is in what? Next week on
Last preseason games are tomorrow. Can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait. And then it's cut time on Friday to see who is officially on the rosters.
Yeah, buddy. It is here.
Ooh, I can't wait.
You got your Madden.
No, I ain't get it yet, but don't believe me, it will be gotten. I love those commercials with Ray Lewis. Those are great.
Those commercials are hilarious. Yeah,
they're awesome.
Man, we just did the draft.
Yeah, just to finish our fantasy league. Yeah. Wish y'all, for those who did join the draft, we appreciate you guys joining in. It's going to be a very, very competitive, very tough season for all of us. There's about to be a lot of shit talking. It's about to be a lot of wins by me.
We'll see how that go. I don't hear what y'all said for the record. Nah, we ain't set it up like that. I ain't set it up like that at all.
Yeah, it man, for real.
Matter. I didn't.
That was pure coincidence. And
yep.
for those of you who are wondering, Chris and I somehow or another landed the first and second pick overall in our draft. Don't know how it happened. Personally, me, I didn't want to pick that high to begin with, but had to make do. So.
Yeah, I couldn't change it. I'm just like, oh, shit, I didn't even know I didn't look.
For those of y'all who said I cheated, I didn't want the pick anyway.
But it don't matter.
But it is what it is. I got my solid team, so I'm good.
I picked 11th in another fucking draft. But guess what? I'm whipping that in that shit, too. It don't matter where I draft. You know, that shit is fun, man.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, but we should be talking. I know Mr. CEO is going to be talking.
Oh, please. I look, Mr. CEO, I saw the move you made already. First move of the season. I see you dropped your kicker and picked up another one, and that kicker got cut. So who's your next kicker you're going to pick up, my friend? Don't think I ain't watching. I see all moves. I see everything. And I keep it in my mind, knowing. Now you have no kicker. I see you.
This is going to be fun, man. We are going to have a good time. You know, we're going to try to have everybody on the show during the season. We can talk your shit. We can just talk some football, whatever.
Yeah, definitely. We can talk about whatever.
We're talking going to be flowing. Oh, it's going to be fun. Come on. But unfortunately, we got to go through these whole replacement officials. NFL just said they're going to use replacement officials in week one, which most people figured. Hurry up.
Oh, my God. This is going to be interesting. I mean, you have replacement officials. Yes, they know the rules, but when you have guys who are vested veterans who have been doing this for years and years and years, Ed Hockley is the name that comes to mind for me. I am not happy about this at all, especially with my team, potential Super Bowl contender. I don't know how this is going to affect me and my team, so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, so far in the preseason, you know, I've heard some guys have been kind of unhappy with the way things have gone, but for the most part, I haven't heard anything too negative. Seems like most of the refs know what they're doing. And as long as we don't have a major blown call, I think everything will be okay.
Yeah, we've had some in the preseason. And, I mean, they will, of course they're not better than the regular refs. And I will miss them. I mean, they're not giving everything right. They can't.
Nah.
And if they called every goddamn thing, the sport wouldn't be fun. It's hard to catch everything. But they own it, you know, 98% of the time. You know, when they fuck up, we call them out on it.
Yeah, and majority of them will admit to it as well.
Yeah.
Admit that screwed up. And
most of the time, they do shit and stay out the way. You know, we keep, you know, if your team keep making dumbass plays and they got to blow the whistle, that's your team's fault. That's not the Raiders'
yeah.
fault. Stop jumping off sides, motherfucker.
Yeah, Raiders, stop penalizing.
That's just what they do. And, of course, Reece Jones Drew ain't going anywhere.
Oh, man.
Go into camp, dude. I got you.
Go.
I got you in one of my leagues, man. Come on. But, nah.
Go make that money, man. Go make your money. I understand. And I, you know what, with you NFL players, I get it. I get that you can only play so long. I get that all your money is not guaranteed. I get that these owners can cut you at the drop of a hat. But on the other side, I'm not making $4 million a year, so I don't know what that feels like. I'm sure it feels pretty damn good. I would take that in a heartbeat. So, dude.
That's for what we get paid to do. I mean,
exactly. For what we get paid to
do. Like, grossly overpaying. I mean, hey, I'm not saying I'm not worth that money.
Exactly.
At all.
But,
if I was in your shoes, I would.
Plus, in all honesty, dude, I mean, football, it's a team sport. Your team needs you, man. Go help your team out. You're getting ready for the season. Go be with your squad, man.
You can hold out. I mean, I feel it.
I mean, I feel
you
holding out.
Yeah, they're already like, what? You locked in. You got 2 years. And
keep in mind, dude, you're dealing with a brand new owner. He does not want to trade his most valuable asset right now.
He
said he's not. So, I mean, you really have no leverage at this point.
No, you just had your best season almost of your career. He showed you were healthy, and we're like, yeah, all right.
You want more money.
I mean, that's just what football players do. Yeah, I'll play your contract, and I want a new one.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel for Maurice Jones-Drew. I would like for him to be in camp. I would like for him to get paid what he feels he needs. But at the same time, man, like I said, you know, you got paid. You're making your money. Go ahead, go into camp, and then have another great season. And you'll get paid. Don't trip.
Right.
They'll take care of you.
Pay, you know, you force their hand a little bit.
Exactly.
Like, oh, 2 years in a row, what you going to do? It's like that player-franchise relationship.
Yeah.
Like Chris Cooley, man.
Released.
Man, I was like, wow, you really love being a Redskin. Hey, I'm not a Redskin fan, so I don't know what it's like. Like, it's the franchise that's taking care of you like that, and you giving back. I mean, that's great. I mean, you'd love to see that.
Yeah.
If I was a Redskins fan, I'd be like, damn, he's leaving shit. Chris Cooley was nice.
Yeah, he was nice for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I hope he lands somewhere.
Injuries took its toll. You know, his knees are kind of messed up now, so.
Yeah, and they said he could have probably started if Fred Davis was just locked in.
Yep.
So, I hope he lands somewhere where they have actually a chance to win, because the Redskins wouldn't win shit.
Nah. And I think he still has a chance to go somewhere solid. I heard the Raiders as a possibility. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Some pranks going on in the NFL. Getting dunked in tubs and all that.
Look, for the Giants on that one, blame your kicker. I'm sorry. There is a non-written code of conduct in all sports. What happens in the locker room stays in the locker room. Dude, you know we live in the age of the Twitter and Facebook, and this is a social networking age. You know anything that you put out on the internet is going to be found by someone. Why in the world would you post your teammates acting foolish like that?
Yeah.
That's beyond me. It's stupid.
I feel you on that. I mean, he wasn't really resisting it at all. And you kind of like, hey, what's going on? You going to stop it? But, I mean, maybe he just was like, this is pranking me. Fucking, I'm going to just deal with it and just move on.
Yeah. And, I mean, he was hurt a lot of the time last year as a rookie, so, you know, it's a possibility it could have been, you know, we didn't get a chance to haze him last year, so let's get him this year. You never know. You don't know what was going on in the locker room. It's another reason it should have never gone viral.
That's why it shouldn't have. But, I mean, you know, of course, you see your players, your big-time stars, as Pierre Paul. I know we talked about him in the background. I'm saying nigga like 12 times.
50,000 times. Like, and to me, that it wasn't even necessarily the dunking of the player that kind of bothered me a little bit. It was the fact that I'm just hearing the word nigga 5,000 times. It's like, oh, my God, dude. Even as professional football players, you guys are saying this 50,000 times. And I'm like, dude.
That's called, and it's the kicker fault again. Like,
goddamn.
No, motherfucker, this is how, when you get around a ton of black people, it just, nigga just flows.
Yep.
But
you know what I mean?
Like, really, I didn't get to see it. I know
what for all you, for all you kids that saw that, and your white folks that saw that, that ain't how we all act. You don't all act that way.
Nah, when I first heard, I was like, I thought he was getting dubbed in like some like metal tub. I'm like, yeah, you gonna fuck him up. And I was like, I was one of them little them plastic joints. I'm like, and it's pretty big. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. And she's like, he can get hurt again. I was like, what the fuck are they doing? But, you know, that's what happens in a locker room. That's what happens when you're in a group, club, team environment. Just have shit that they do.
Yeah, I mean, all in all, they were just having a good time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to condemn them to the death for that. They were just having some fun. Point that it needs to be made. It should have never got out. Should have never leaked. And that's the kicker's fault. And that's where I stand.
You got to know better.
Yep.
Fucking it up for everybody. I know you're feeling confident about your Broncos.
Oh, yeah. Loving it. Loving the Broncos. Loving Peyton Manning. He looked fantastic against the 49ers. No need to play him anymore this preseason. He's ready to roll. Oh, I can't wait. With all the Tim Tebow nonsense I had to hear last year, everybody was throwing jokes on Tim Tebow this and Tim Tebow that. We won the playoff game. We beat the Steelers, yes. Yes, folks, I am finally glad we have a traditional quarterback again. Don't get me wrong, I like Tim Tebow. He's a great kid. He did great things for Denver. I'm not going to deny him that. I give him a bunch of credit for turning this franchise around. But the circus and all that came with it, I'm glad it's on the other side of the country. New York can deal with it. They can have it. He's a great guy. You know, they got a great dude in that locker room. Whether he can make a difference with those knuckleheads over there, it remains to be seen, but they can deal with it all they want.
Right.
We got our quarterback, Peyton Manning. Guy came in. It was a big noise when he signed. He's just gone about his business. He hasn't really been out in the open, hasn't really been saying much. He's just been rehabbing, getting ready, and you see what it's done. The man came in. You know, he had a couple. First two preseason games were bad. Comes in against probably arguably the best defense in the league, and what happens? Oh, when he leaves the game, it's 17-0. That is what I want to see. Super Bowl contenders. Love it.
With all these numbers, what you think of Dez Bryant and his strict guidelines?
That, to me, shows he's a baby, man. I did read that, I guess, he came out and said he wanted this. So I have to give him some kind of credit for stepping up to the plate and admitting that he does have an issue and that he does need help. But on the other hand, dude, you're what? You're 23, 24 years old. You have a midnight curfew.
Yeah.
You have a midnight curfew.
Dude, let me read these. A midnight curfew. If he's going to miss curfew, team officials must know in advance. No drinking alcohol. Like, okay.
Okay.
Can't attend any strip clubs.
Okay.
He can only attend nightclubs if they are approved by the team and he has a security team with him. Damn.
Oh, my God.
You ain't making it rain for a while. Sorry, sir.
So, in the sense, no, it's like, dude, you're back in high school again.
Yep. Counseling twice a week.
Oh, my God.
A rotating three-man security team will leave one man with Brian at all times. Members of the security team will drive Brian to practice his games and team functions. God dang.
And then.
You want your mama there too, dude? Damn.
Yeah, for real. Do you need a binky? Do you need a bottle? Like I give him credit for stepping up and admitting he needs help. This is a little excessive. This to me is like, dude, you have some serious fucking problems. You have no idea how to take care of yourself whatsoever.
You,
like, you.
You want to look at it like, all right, you know what, you're doing, you made the rules, you cool, and you kind of like, I need some sort of discipline around. Like, please discipline me, please set some boundaries so I can control myself. And he's like, all right, but it's a grown man league.
Yeah, it's like, dude, grow up. A
some
midnight curfew, dude.
The fact that you
say you got to be at home by midnight, it's like, come on, man.
Like all of this makes it worse because it's team mandated. Like, okay, the security, that sounds really like your team. Like, look, motherfucker, we need to make sure we have somebody we know who is with you all the time because we don't trust you. But, I mean, like, if you yourself is like, you know what, I've been fucking up and I've been getting out of hand. You know what, I'm not going out after midnight for a while. You know, if you do that, like, all right, cool, I'm not going to do that shit. And the people say, you're like, you know what, I don't want to do that shit right now. I'm going to chill for a while.
Yeah,
I'm
going to just lay low.
Like, all right, but the fact that you, like, you had to put it in writing and sign a contract, as in, like, if I fuck up, you know, my money can get taken away. Like, all right, shit. Like,
you are a kid. You're a kid, man. You can't drink. You have a midnight curfew. You can only go to nightclubs, which in all honesty, you don't start getting cracking until like 11, 12 o'clock.
Yeah, so what the fuck, you know?
So
why
even go to them?
Yeah.
Dude, and what killed me is you have dudes who have to drive you to practice and team functions. Nigga, you can't drive yourself to practice and be on time? Is that really... He's a kid. That's just a kid right there. You can't drive yourself to practice or team functions or the game. So I take it you ain't driving no more. You're just being chauffeured everywhere now.
Yeah, now you need to just show the fuck up. You need to all this shit.
I ain't touching him on my fantasy league too.
East.
I ain't touching him.
He dropped low enough, yeah. I would.
I ain't touching him.
I get the nigga like.
Because the one thing about him that people have yet to mention, he is injury prone already. He's always hurt and nicked up and bruised up. He's always hurt. He didn't really practice today because he's banged up. Like, what? He always hurt. Just like, he's just a headache. T.O. number two.
Shit, yeah. Except that he got a team and T.O. does not.
Speaking of Team Obliterator.
Man.
I can't. He's at the end of the road now.
Is it finally? Is this it for him? Is this it?
I mean, Chad Johnson, in my opinion, had the best chance of the two. You went to a team who had no wide receiver. You got a fresh, clean start. You got to go back to Florida, your hometown. And, you know, you were the number one receiver on the team. You were the go-to receiver. And in the blink of an eye, you fucked it up, got cut, and divorced.
And at this point,
you went to a sorry team. You know, when you were on a good team like the Patriots, it was too tough for you to learn the playbook. And in all honesty, Chad, I loved everything you did as far as the antics and the touchdown celebrations. Teams don't want the headache anymore. It's not worth it. You're 35 years old. You're not the player you used to be. It's not even worth it anymore. Not.
Yeah, if you were the star and producing, then yeah. But even then, people wouldn't want to take that shit. But now,
now it's like, oh, man, you couldn't even deal with it. You couldn't even last in Miami, a rebuilding team. Why even bother?
A new head coach. Like,
new head
young
coach.
Head coach, man. Like, it's not a veteran coach who knows how to handle the personality like that. And, man, hey, the hard knocks of that fool just went into the fucking coaches meeting. Like, a coaches only meeting. He just came in. I swear, I thought I was like, what? I was like, this can't be real. I mean, it was like a coaches only meeting. He just come in, like, yeah, basically, like, I heard y'all was here. I want to come in, sit in, get on, you know, see what y'all doing. He's like, and they looking at this fool like, nigga, what the fuck is your problem?
And
like,
I mean,
why are you here?
I love Chad to death, but it's those types of things that rub guys the wrong way. And especially with a guy who's a first-year head coach who is trying to install, you know, his his morals, what he wants to do.
It's
you got to draw some kind of line. You got to say, all right, you know what? Let me set an example. And you were the prime candidate. You pretty much set the, you set yourself up to get cut, personally. I mean, you set yourself up for that. You came into the press conferences cursing up a storm. Coach had to tell you he didn't want you cursing like that. You coming in coaches-only meetings. You headbutting your wife. At first-year coach especially, maybe a veteran coach deals with this differently. A first-year head coach who's trying to establish his foundation is not trying to deal with this shit.
Hell no.
Hell to the motherfucking no. Maybe if you had a guy like, you know, a Tony Dungy, a John Fox, guys like that who have been in the league 15, 20 years, who've dealt with guys like this before, okay, maybe it's a different story. But you're dealing with a guy who's an offensive coordinator at Green Bay, his first head coaching job in the NFL. He wants to set some kind of precedent.
Yeah, he's going
and
to a losing franchise.
Yeah, he's going to a losing franchise who hasn't had a great quarterback since Dan Marino.
Man, been good
you know,
in a while.
That, it's like, dude, you're supposed to be the veteran guy who's supposed to step up and be a leader, and you're acting like a kid and got to set an example. I ain't having it. I know a lot of the veteran players weren't happy about it, but it was what it was. It was a little, to me, it was a little harsh to cut him that quick without getting all the facts about what happened between he and his wife, but it is what it is.
Right. He was already on the line, and they were like...
Exactly. He was already on a thin line, and that just put the scissors through it.
Yeah, seeing him on... Hard Knocks getting, like, let go. It was like, we're cutting you from the team. It was great TV, and it was sad as hell. I was like, I feel bad as hell for this. I mean, he coming in shorts and flippers, and, you know, I guess he knew, but he had to look like, please don't cut me. Don't let me go. And he had that look on his face, and you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And he just kind of like, coach was like, you know, we've had issues, and he was like, wow, this is amazing. I was like, I really feel bad for this dude. But not really. You know, like,
yeah,
I'm like, God, this is sad shit to see. But I'm like,
that's why people kind of love Hard Knocks so much. You know, you go through the training camp with these guys. You kind of watch some of these young guys grow. You root for some of these undrafted guys. And then this is the hardest time of the year for coaches when it comes to cutting these guys from the team, going from 90 to 75 to 53.
Yes,
these are the hardest times because you have to look at some of these young guys who they may never get another shot.
Yeah.
And you tell them that they didn't make the team, and that is a big blow, especially, you know, you tend to root for some of these guys. You make a, you know, whatever kind of connection with them. And it hurts. It stings. It stings, but, you know, it's a business. This training camp, this is your job interview. This is when you gotta put your big boy pants on and make the best impression you possibly can. And you know what? For a lot of these guys, you know, I'd say, you know, work as hard as you can, because just because this team cuts you, other teams' scouts are watching you guys. So if you do get cut, you know, another team could say, oh, well, we liked him. Pick him up.
Yeah, people float around.
Yeah.
And it is good. I mean, yeah, seeing them cut dudes, especially the dudes who they, you can tell, have, like, just worked their butt off.
Yeah.
And it's just like they just don't have room on the roster.
Yeah. And
you know,
that ain't happen.
It's
tough
to watch.
Yeah, it's tough to watch.
You're seeing dudes sad and just they dream, and they basically, you're basically telling them that their dream is not going to happen right now.
Yep.
Like, fuck, like, you know, you realize the GM and all, they got a lot of shit to deal with.
Yeah, it ain't just cutting the checks, you know, they do a lot of things.
Dealing with player personnel and trying to be a nice guy about it, but knowing that it's a business, at the end of the day, you hired to, you know.
To make the best decisions for the business, exactly. And then we move on to Team Obliterator. I knew from Jump Street this wasn't going to work. He went to Seattle, a team who, granted, their wide receiver position isn't the best. It's a little bit better than what Miami has. But they added Braylon Edwards. You had Sidney Rice coming back from an injury. You had Doug Baldwin to play the slot. There really wasn't room for T.O. I mean, yes, he came out. He gave a show, showed that even at 38 years old, he's still – we all know he's a physical beast. I mean, he still runs a 4-3. He's a monster. But
yeah, this is,
he can't catch.
Yeah, man, I saw it. They replayed that joint where he just dropped the shit.
He can't catch.
You're like, really?
And this has plagued him back when he was with Dallas. He has lately, and towards the back end of his career, has had issues with the dropsies. And I think that might have played a big part in him getting let go. It's like, dude, yes, you're great, you're fast, you're all this, but you can't catch the ball. What's the point? Plus, I mean, I think Pete Carroll kind of wanted to get rid of him before it even got started, because let's just be honest, we all know. We all know. At some point, he was going to say something stupid.
Yep.
It's just in his nature. It's just what he does. Pete Carroll came out, said great things about him, said he was a great citizen, did everything they asked him to. You know, it just didn't work out. Fine. But I think at this point, it's the end of the line for T.O. I just personally don't think teams want to deal with the headache. Prime example is look at Albert Haynesworth. $100 million man in Washington. Not even, what, 2-3 years ago? Where is he now? Out of the league. Guys don't want to deal with the headaches. It's not even worth it, especially for you when you have a young team. You got young players trying to come up. Is this really the guy you want teaching them? Granted, he has a high football IQ, but I would not want my young players picking up on his tendencies, you know, his diva ways and things of that nature.
Yeah, because I heard he was causing some trouble and just, you know.
Yeah, I heard he was bickering with the refs a little bit and still being a diva a little bit. So, I mean, that's what I mean. I don't want my young players seeing that. I don't want that rubbing off on them. I don't need it. I was doing you a favor.
Yeah, I see this bad. He got the numbers, and you know he can perform, but, I mean, this fool be dropping passes. Like, damn, dude, really?
Yeah, like, you
frustrating you. Like, catch the fucking pass. You talk all that shit. Catch the fucking pass. You drop touchdown passes and, like, big third down catch. You're like, what the hell? You the shit? Well, nigga, somebody who's the shit makes these plays, and you ain't making them.
Yep.
Look what you used to do. You ain't doing it now.
Exactly.
I just hope Randy Moss can hold it down, but, you know, we'll see how long that train lasts.
He'll be in a rotation. I don't see – he's not going to have 1,000 yards or anything like that unless somebody gets hurt, but
– open it up for Mario Manningham.
You know what? That was a great pickup for them.
That was a great pickup. Especially a solid number two next to Vernon Davis. And he made plays for the Giants. He made some big plays.
Oh, yeah.
Big touchdowns. And a big touchdown in the Super Bowl.
So I think that was a huge get for them. I like what Jim Harbaugh and the 49ers are doing. I think they'll be a very solid team. I know a lot of people crap on Alex Smith, but I'd say give him a chance. The first time he's had the same offensive coordinator for a year. So we'll see what happens this year. If he doesn't progress, then I think you can start to worry. But I think he'll be fine. I mean, he has a fantastic defense behind him. So
yeah, they stick to what got him there is, you know, great defense and running the football. Now you just got another option in case, you know, when you run play action, you got another target.
And you got Randy Moss who can go deep. So,
as long as he's playing and playing well and, you know, at least give you a little bit of a room,
mm-hmm.
It opens it up for the other two guys. And, you know, that's all you need.
Precisely.
But we're going to come back and wrap up. You guys are listening to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour.
Holla.
I feel good. Wouldn't I? Is this a dream?
I'm feeling brand new. It ain't the lean, no coughs and no at-shoes. I'm so clean, not even a tattoo. Laser beam on point like Stacey Adams' shoes. Distance, please, yeah, you dripping swag goo. Speaking of cream, we know that cash rule. We going green, this money is all natural. That TBO music stay in your system like fast food. Turn it up. Joyride of the fourth kind. Fresher than fluoride, how your voice shine. You on that oink swine, blind, cripple, crazy. If this ain't in your speakers when you whipping daily, when you rolling with your fam. You know you gotta do the opera hands. Whether you YOLO or rolling with your mans. You know you gotta do the opera hands. Now, one hand went behind the wheel, two hands went the passenger. Slow-mo like when Ricky Dotter flying like you Captain Kirk. Fingertips up on the hips, don't slip when you went back of her. Back and forth, two-stepping, yeah, that's what this track is for.
When you
rolling with your fam. You know you gotta do the opera hands. Whether you YOLO or rolling with your mans. You know you gotta do the opera hands. Now, one hand went behind the wheel, two hands went the passenger. Slow-mo like when Ricky Dotter flying like you Captain Crow. Fingertips up on the hips, don't slip when you went back of her. Back and forth, two-stepping, yeah, that's what this track is for.
Black op era, block party with no sirens. Only ones crying is the hydrants. Nobody co-signing us, cause we don't need nobody co-signing us. No Zimmermans peeking through the blinds. It's highs, lows, and pyramids peeking through the miners. When epidemic hit, we standing strong like Parthena. The people entering like this was a phenomenon. Anything you dream, it is possible. Like goats climbing trees in Morocco. Whoa. I had a dream, I was comfortable. With all my family and my team living Huxtable.
When you rolling with your fam. You know you gotta do the opera hands. Whether you YOLO or rolling with your mans. You know you gotta do the opera hands. Now, one hand went behind the wheel, two hands went the passenger. Slow-mo like when Ricky Dotter flying like you Captain Kirk. Fingertips up on the hips, don't slip when you went back of her. Back and forth, two-stepping, yeah, that's what this track is for.
When
you rolling with your fam. You know you gotta do the opera hands. Whether you YOLO or rolling with your mans. You know you gotta do the opera hands. Now, one hand went behind the wheel, two hands went the passenger. Slow-mo like when Ricky Dotter flying like you Captain Kirk. Fingertips up on the hips, don't slip when you went back of her. Back and forth, two-stepping, yeah, that's what this track is for.
Welcome back, everybody. Brother Lamb Sports Happy Hour. Once again, if you want to hit us up, you can email us at brotherslayman@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @brotherslayman. Call us at the Happy Hour, 323-455-4219. You know, we usually do the, you know, the what the fuck moment about now, and...
What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck? No! 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 Fuck that!
This what the fuck ain't really... I mean, you're finally happy it happened, but it's like
nothing
really happened and what took y'all so long. Augusta finally let two women in.
Wow.
Allowed two women to become members of Augusta National Golf Club. Wow, you guys finally made it. You opened in 1933. You just, 2012.
It's 2012.
I mean, look, it took them to 1990 to let a black person in.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, so now you got...
the last for everything, huh?
Condoleezza Rice, former Secretary of State. So, hey, now you got a woman and
she got a black woman.
Man, you cover two bases. Ooh, we getting progressive. You got South Carolina financier, Darla Moore. So, I mean, you got two people with money. Who've done some things and now they get to wear the green jacket and walk around and y'all hate.
Exactly, basically.
Y'all just want your exclusive white boy only club and I get it. It ain't gonna happen long. Eventually, you're gonna have to do something.
Oh, of course.
You know, cause just like that green jacket, we know what's the most important color to y'all is that green. We're not talking about the jackets or the shit that motherfuckers play on. Talking about that shit that fills your pockets.
Exactly.
And accounts. And pays for that fucking membership that's probably a grip.
Thousands.
Get it to fucking together. Gee. But you know what? It says one of the nicest courses. And I believe it's shit. I mean, if you're going to keep it exclusive like that, that shit better be baller. That shit better be awesome. I like the fact when Tiger was just smashing y'all like, yeah, put the green jacket on this brother. Put it on me. I know you don't want to. Put it on me. Get the finger. Y'all suck. Somebody having a laugh back there.
Oh, yeah. Having a big-time laugh. This whole Augusta thing has just got me just like, it took you guys this long. Really? Not a group. Two of y'all. Just two. We'll consider more later, but right now, just two. Three's too many. And how many brothers do they really have in that Augusta Golf Club? How many brothers can actually afford to go to that Augusta Golf Club? This is just a PR move. They wanted to save face, say, okay, about that time. Let's go ahead and let some women in. Just two. Just a couple. Just to get the ball rolling. So people can say, oh, yeah, Augusta's great. But me, I'm like, you know what? This is bullshit. The hell took y'all so long?
Right. I'm like, okay. It came and went. Like, all right, y'all did it fine.
Exactly. And that's the other thing. It just came and, it came and went like the breeze.
Congratulations. You finally.
Because it took so long. Had y'all done this maybe in the year, maybe even.
When you finally let black people in.
Yeah, just let women in too.
Let's just let all minorities in. Nope. We're taking our sweet time. But now, like, is it only like now white men, women, and black people?
Exactly.
Are they letting all minorities in, or is it just let black people in?
Exactly. Can some Asians come? Can my Asians homeboy come?
Can
my Mexican
that?
Homeboys come?
I'd like to know that. Like, is it just black people?
Okay, my people
white
from
people type.
You know what I'm saying? Can my European folk come? Feel me? But. Yeah, whatever. I don't care anymore. It came and went. Done.
Quick hits around the NBA. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar finally got his wish. He was complaining about it, which was sad as hell to see. Being that dad was a big Kareem Abdul-Jabbar fan. As
yeah.
But he's finally getting his statue.
It's about time. I mean, he freaking earned it.
Yeah,
I know Magic got his, Chick Hearn got his. Kareem has to have one.
Of course he was going to get one, but sometimes it's like they don't want to release one every 2 years.
Yeah.
Or decorate. I mean, and you would, part of me feels like you just need to make all Lakers first. But, I mean, yes, you got to have Wayne Gretzky.
Yep.
Especially now. Now that the fucking Kings have won.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, now it's like, oh, shit. And then, you know, who was Oscar De La Hoya? He got one?
I believe so.
That's kind of questionable to me because I'm like, boxing ain't, it ain't like Vegas like that.
Oh, now yeah,
I can see Kareem being like, this motherfucker got one? Damn. No, I can see, like, all right, Magic, yes, at Staples Center, yes, good. Like, it's the house that Magic built. Magic fucking made the Forum this shit.
Yep.
Showtime this shit and basically get enough money to move to downtown.
Yep.
Build a nice-ass stadium with some tight-ass seats at the top.
Well, let's be honest. When you think of the Lakers, you think of Showtime. More
yeah,
than the majority
I mean,
of L.A. fans, you'll think of Magic Johnson first before Kareem. Because, I mean.
Yeah, and he was been here. That was his whole career.
Exactly.
Like,
Magic
you know,
was Magic. And, you know,
Magic
was
a
great
Laker.
Guy.
And was
very outgoing, very social guy, and, you know, great guy all around. So,
yeah,
people love Magic.
He figured Kareem would get his. I mean, nobody's going, you know, I don't know what it is, you know, with being you standoffish and people not liking you or whatever, but Ring seemed cool to me. I mean, I could see him maybe being a dick, but he seemed like a cool guy. And, you know, I mean, you played, you didn't play a whole career as a Laker. You didn't, like, grow up and become the man as a Laker.
No.
It was just beasting. Then you went to L.A. and you was beasting some more.
Yep.
Now, Magic was drafted by L.A., took the franchise and basketball to a whole fucking other level. And it's just synonymous with the Lakers. I mean, he's always been a Laker. Same with Jerry West.
Yep.
Magic became basically a goddamn top three player. He's in the argument for greatest player ever. He's in the argument.
Yep.
You know, and he's new. And, I mean, it's Magic. Magic's dissed up in the community and all that. And it's just he's synonymous with L.A., even though he's from Detroit.
Yep.
He just sounds with L.A. and success.
I mean, shit,
he would have to be the first one. If you weren't going to give him the first one, it'd be a problem.
Then he owns the Dodgers now, I mean.
Yeah, so it's already there. I mean, Chick Hearn, yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
He was the voice of the Lakers.
Nobody in L.A., even if they're not Laker fans like that, will not argue that.
No.
I was a fan when Chick Hearn was in. Man, that was great radio.
Oh, yeah.
I still miss him just. Broadcast Laker games, man. That shit was great. It's never gonna be the
butter is hard and the jello is jiggling.
That's why Dodger fans enjoy Vince Scully.
Oh, yeah, man. Heard he's coming back for one more year. I'm very happy to hear that. One of the best commentators of all time.
Yeah, then Jerry West. I mean, basically built Logan. Showtime and fucking brought Kobe Bryant and Shaq to L.A.
And got
not only
Kobe
did he win a ring, he helped win multiple rings two separate times.
And in hindsight, he pulled off probably the biggest lopsided deal in the history of the NBA. He traded Kobe Bryant for Vlade Divac.
Yeah.
Looking at it at the time, a lot of people were like, yeah, you traded Vlade. But you look at that trade now, it's like, nigga, you traded arguably one of the best players of all time for Vlade Divac. The best flopper of all time.
Vlade Divac wasn't no slouch.
Oh, no. Vlade Divac was a great player. In his own respect.
He was very unique.
Oh, yeah. He was one of those. You see those guys, those big time, those big guys who are passing nowadays? Vlade was been doing that. Vlade, Arvydas Sabonis, they've been doing all that stuff.
But, I mean, yeah. I mean, how do you – I kind of need to trade Vlade because I'm about to just upgrade centers. So, I'm going to just – yeah, that's an upgrade. Not Dwight Howard from Andrew Bynum. That ain't no upgrade like that. From Vlade Divac to Young Shaq, that is like, hey, fuck, you went from, like, the fifth best center to, the like, one of the three best players in the league. I'm like, oh, shit, we win a championship. Then you trade that for a pick, which, you know, it takes some luck. You know, he knew that he could get him at that pick, but, hey, New Jersey took Kerry Kittles.
Oof.
He's a shooting guard. And, I mean, you never know.
I mean, Philly took Allen Iverson number one that year, and Allen Iverson panned out. You know, and to me, one of the most underrated players to ever play the game that really a lot of people didn't know about at the time, or he kept playing on sorry teams, Sharif Abdul-Rahim.
Yeah, he was just, like, synonymous.
Got picked third overall, but he just had a string of bad luck landing on sorry ass teams.
Yeah, sad to see.
So.
Yeah, I liked him. He was nice. Just he could score, rebound high. He could never just get on a good team.
Nah, and you know it's sad to say, but you know it happens.
Yeah, and it's gonna keep on happening.
Yep, exactly.
Patrick Ewing is about to relaunch the shoes. Bring the Ewings back.
God.
Got to get up and put on my white Ewings. I mean, he said he's going to start small and, you know, see what happens. And he said he's been asked a lot, you know, of course, from sneaker connoisseurs out there. But when you bring it back to Ewings, You know, like, hey, I mean, enough people ask for them. I mean, he don't have to mass produce them. You know,
no.
Put enough in the store, see what happens, and it'll make you a little money. So cool, Pat. Cool, Patrick Ewing. He don't get the love he deserved. That fool was a monster.
Now, he was an unbelievable player.
Just beast. Beasting on pools.
One of the best centers to ever play the game.
Yep. He's one of them dudes. Patrick Ewing is why you got guys today that want to do the super team shit.
Yep.
That reason. For guys like Patrick Ewing, when you were like, damn, if you could just get a number two, like a legit number two, go to fucking, get a Reggie Miller type. Get some wing player, point guard, somebody. When they try to double you, this nigga just goes off. I see what they are. I know he said he's going to charge about $100, which is $200 less than them new LeBrons that are trying to come out.
I cannot believe these motherfuckers is putting out shoes for $300. Anybody I see with them shoes, I swear to God, I'm going to walk up to them and call them a fucking idiot. Did you just spend $300? Who does that? I know Jordan was Jordan. Jordan had the $100 sneaks. Niggas was buying them like hotcakes.
Yeah.
I am not spending $300 fucking dollars, a third of my rent, on shoes.
On a sneaker.
On a sneaker.
This isn't like, I know they got the Louis Vuitton $500 shoes. But sometimes I'm like, those is dress shoes. Like, I'm dressing the fuck up. If I'm just going to wear some shorts and shit, I don't want to have, like, ooh, I got. Once they scuff, that's it. You feel like with a dress shoe, you can get that joint shine.
I tell you one thing with these LeBrons. We going to have a few nigga moments if anybody scuff up them shoes.
Hold up. I smell new shoes.
Oh, me.
Oh! Ooh, what you made?
I said it before. Expensive sneakers are like $150 landmines. Step on one and boom! A perfectly rational black man can explode.
Yeah! They ain't new anymore, are they? Nigga!
Nigga, did you just come for my $300 LeBrons?
Yeah.
Bang! I'm gonna knock you the hell out. You better wear them shoes one time and never wear them again. That's ridiculous. $300? Who in they right fucking mind would buy that shit?
Of course, it's that on that MJ shit.
And you know the sad thing is, motherfuckers is gonna buy it.
Somebody gonna buy the shit. I mean, you wouldn't put it out there for $300 if you didn't think somebody was gonna buy it. I mean, they already paying almost $200. So for some people, it's like, what's another $100?
It's ridiculous. Right. What's another $100? That's groceries.
Right. All y'all parents out there, like that, you better clamp the hell down and be like, nope. Nope.
Hell no.
Think about it. You put $200 on it, maybe I'll put $100 on it, but
exactly. I don't care how many of your friends got them shoes.
But
they parents,
$200, that ain't the point.
Exactly. Well, right. My friend got them. Well, your friend parents are idiots.
The sneakers, folks.
Oh
yes, women
God.
Got shoes. Got 12 pairs of shoes in their closet. Out of that price or more. But hey, those are women's shoes.
Yep.
The sneakers.
These are basketball shoes. Come
hey,
on.
Man, it's always a good topic. D-Wade said LeBron has a ways to go to pass MJ. Which
I agree.
Chicago is correct.
Nothing wrong with that statement. He didn't say he's not going to catch him. He didn't say he never could pass him. He just said he has a ways to go, which he does. He has one fucking ring, folks. Let's pump the brakes a little.
Right. Now he got the next 5-6 years.
To get 5-6 more.
Yeah.
And don't say, LeBron, I know you got your one. I'm waiting for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You called it.
I don't give a fuck no more. I'm just like, let's see. Now that you've done it, let's see how this roll go. I mean, you solidified yourself as, the best player in the game.
Yeah, not one of the best of all time. One of the best, and he's the best in the game today.
Yeah. And if
make that clear.
If he doesn't win any more rings and puts up them same numbers, he's getting in the Hall of Fame. So.
Oh, yeah.
Rip Hamilton got a ring. Chauncey Billups got a ring.
Ben Wallace has a ring.
Hamilton over there on your team trying to get another ring.
Exactly.
Just because you got a ring and Charles Barkley don't mean you better than Charles Barkley. 6'8", 280. I'm like, I mean, you were like 6'4". So was basically arguably in his, at his time, the best power forward in the game.
Yep. And he was little.
He was little. But you didn't even think about it, that he was that small.
Because he was
I don't think Charles Barkley is 6'4". I'm like, this dude just grabbing like 15 boards. Just beasting in the paint.
Unbelievable.
You know, so, hey, I'm looking forward to see what he's going to do. Now his career next year is going to be interesting now that the target is clearly on his back.
It's going to be big. You see the Lakers, maybe they move to get Dwight.
Yeah,
for sure.
On their back, even. They have a bigger target.
Mm-hmm.
Now the pressure's on you, Kobe.
Exactly.
What you going to do?
I'm going to keep shooting.
That's what I do. I'm going to score.
Exactly. That is fucking funny.
We thank y'all for tuning in to the Brother Lemon Sports Happy Hour. As y'all know, you can find us at www.blackisonline.com. A lot of great podcasts on there. You got Casey Lehman hosting the Black Is Break, featuring the Black Is Family. Always good. Brother Malcolm, Culture Connection.
Brother Malcolm.
That was good, yeah. He in the Happy Hour League, too. On his shit.
Mm-hmm.
You can find all of those podcasts and ours on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Just look under Black Is. You can also go online. Just type in Brother Lehman Sports Happy Hour. We there.
Hit us up. Hit us up.
Yep. Email us, thebrotherslehman@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, @brotherslehman. All LEHMAN. Hit us up at the Happy Hour, 323-455-4219. Let us know what you think. Who's your team? What they going to do? How's your fantasy squad look?
And if you want any fantasy strategies, hit us up. Let us know. Gladly let you in on some secrets.
Yeah, Jonathan says he got some, supposedly.
I got plenty of strategies. Don't worry about it. Might enlighten you guys on the next podcast.
Yeah, too bad they're not going to work. Because I'm winning this championship.
Say so, sir. Well, we thank you guys for listening tonight. From your hosts, Chris and Jonathan, this is the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. We'll be giving it to you strong, and it goes down smooth.
I'll let y'all later.
Have a good night. Holla.
God damn. The bigger the cap, the bigger the pillin'. And when dealing with the lynch mob, you gots to know Steady Mobbin is not just the name of this jam, but a way of life. Bound together by motherfuckers that's known to break them off something. Give it to me.
Here goes the neighborhood.
In a mothership, better known as a Dukes, and we all wanna smother shit. Front and back cars got tent, trying to get our hands on some dollars and cents, and fools can't hold us. Every chance we get, we hitting up the roads, coming up short of the green guys. And I might start slinging bean pies, or the blueback T-shirt of the month, with you can't touch this on the front. I'm out to get rich, 'cause life ain't. Slap boxing in the street. Niggas get mad.
The neighborhood.